Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One for podcasting.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, now featuring CBD-infused seltzer to get happy, legal for 18 and up. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Condon here on a Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon with you for the next couple of hours to talk sports with you. Thanks for spending some of the morning here with us. Here's what's going on the program today, bottom of the hour. We're going to start with Dave Sproul, covers Iowa State. We'll get his reaction to the basketball news coming out of Ames. During the week, of course, TJ Otzelberger, AJ Green deciding to stay in the draft. We'll do that and other Cyclone related topics with our friend Dave Sproul coming up here at 10:30, 10:35-ish. At 11:05, we'll head to Vegas. Mike Palm from Circus Sports, his normal spot on Friday, gets us up to date on some of the sports wagering, what they see the basketball wise from last night. I say they made a quick adjustment. The Celtics now a pretty convincing favorite to win the series, as Golden State falls in the first game on their home floor. And then we'll wrap things up with Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star, who's part of a new venture over in Nebraska, and perhaps a new venture throughout the country with some of the college sites maybe migrating to, well, who knows where they're going. Sipple, help us out. On Three Media,
yes,
is where he works. And I'm you mentioned yesterday, Jeremy Crabtree's part of it, and these are the guys that were behind the start of Rivals, and then you said Scout, correct?
Yeah, yeah. They put both of those together and did a really good job.
I'll say. So they have to be living pretty high off the hog, I would think, you know, to launch those bad boys and to see it grow. But we'll speak with Sip, because over in Nebraska, Sean Callahan, who's been a fixture on the Rivals site over there, his contract wasn't renewed. So what does that mean, I wonder? Is On Three Media taking over Rivals?
No. I mean, two different companies. This is Rivals is owned by a separate entity. Rivals is part of the Yahoo Network. So, yeah, it's separate entities there. It's just a third. And just like when Rivals, all right, Scout's going to be the next one. And this is just a new media type that's doing the same type of thing. But no, not taking over Rivals. At least I don't see it that way.
All right, good stuff. All right, so that's the program here today. Oh, I forgot. We're going to give four of you an opportunity to win some barbecue from Klaxons. Klaxons, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. We will do that here coming up at about 10 minutes before noon, somewhere around that time. Again, if you've participated in the last month, that means you are ineligible to play, whether you won or whether you didn't. It's once a month contest for four of you, and we'll do that coming up here at about 10:02. We've had our first manager walk the plank already. Well, we did get to June. Joe Girardi is out in Philadelphia. The Phillies fired Girardi and a bunch of his coaching staff today, turned it over to a bench coach. Of course, one of the more underachieving teams. They spent a lot of money in this offseason. Phillies went out, and you can't accuse this team of trying to shortchange the roster. They spent a bunch of it. Kyle Schwarber comes in. Nick, and there's a long fly ball. Nick Castellanos comes over. They spent money, but the results have not been there. So Joe Girardi walks the plank. So if you had him, now here's a question for you, Mr. Sports Better. Will we, now that the Iowa laws are relaxing when it comes to these things, will be able to bet that prop, first manager fired? Maybe we already could.
Yeah, I don't see it listed very often. I don't hear a whole lot of buzz about it, but yeah, you got to figure it's a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is different than a voting award that we're going to be able to do starting July 1st, but yeah, I think that'd be another one that you throw up there and get the opportunity to
bet
on.
He had a pretty short price to begin, because I would have thought that.
Well, the Phillies had a little bit of buzz, though.
I mean, you're right. Yeah, that's true. They spent money
and went out and did that. So I would guess he would be middle of the pack. You know,
and but as the calendar turned from April to May, those numbers started to come down significantly. Well, speaking of numbers, let's get to the NBA in game number one. Trent, I still think you did the right thing. The move that you made as to how you were going to bet the series price, because we both like Boston to win it all. Mm-hmm. They're up 1-0, as we know now, is the fourth quarter. They just overwhelmed Golden State. But, you know, even knowing that, I think if you had to do it again, I think I would say, you know what, Trent? I think you're on the right path.
And through three quarters, I felt like I was perfect. Yep. I thought I had it figured out. It was looking good. And then the fourth quarter, that will be remembered for a very long time. And today, the 30-year anniversary of the shrug game from Michael Jordan.
Right.
A day before it, we have that performance out of Boston in the fourth quarter, a 17-0 run.
It's amazing.
Al Horford, the Fountain
the
of
birthday
youth.
Boy, Al Horford. Yes. It's his birthday today.
Guy that had played, the most playoff games without a finals appearance until last night. He was outstanding. Marcus Smart hitting shots in a game where Jason Tatum does not play his best, certainly offensively.
Trent, he stunk.
As a
shooter. You know what? That's not fair because he distributed the ball well.
But not what you anticipate. Uh-huh. Usually you're going to get out of Jason Tatum. And they win that game and they win it going away.
My question yesterday, our thought during the show yesterday, is could Boston win there if Jason Tatum isn't the best player on the floor? I wasn't sure that they could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't the best player on the floor last night. He had a lot of help. Derek White was unbelievable.
He was.
Derek White was incredible. He finished with 20-something points. Brown was amazing. Williams, what he brings in, the presence that he brings in the paint, you mentioned Horford, was terrific. So I don't know what to think now. You know, I will say this. I do know what to think of when it comes to this. The three-pointer. Somebody texted me yesterday when we were talking about Steph Curry. He's ruined the game. Ah, come on.
You've ruined the game. He's made the game.
He's changed the game.
Yeah.
Trent, there were 86 threes taken yesterday. Mm-hmm. Combined 86 threes in the game. And now I understand his point when he said, did he say ruined or changed? He didn't like it anyways. That's a lot of threes.
That's a lot of three-pointers.
This is a shooting contest now.
And it's pretty simple. There was one game we came in one day and we were talking about, I think, a couple weeks ago. And I said, I hate to really simplify it like this, but just who makes the most threes, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. Now, both teams hit a lot of threes in the game. Boston was a little bit better. They hit 21. It was Golden State with 19. But, yeah, that's what this game has evolved into. But I don't think it's made the game worse. I think it's made the game a whole lot better. I mean, you want to go back to some of the garbage, not just the Piston teams in the bad boy era, but early 2000s.
It was more, well, it's physical now.
You want to see Ben Wallace out there just roughing people up? Or you want to
see Rodman. I did enjoy the Rodman era.
Right, but this is basketball. This is free-flowing. This is entertaining. This is so much better than the garbage that we saw and that physicality.
Oh, it was Bill Laimbeer.
We were talking about New Jersey just the other day, the Devils in the NHL, and how I think they ruined hockey for a lot of casual fans.
It was tough
fans.
To watch, you're right.
And this version of the NBA, so much better to me. Yeah, is it a little ridiculous at times that that's all they're looking for is three-pointers? I get it. The mid-range game, it's not a good shot anymore. 18-footers, terrible.
Right.
Either get to the rim or hit a three-pointer.
Or step back a couple feet. Yeah.
Right, because you get three as opposed to two for that jump shot 22 feet away. So I understand at least the premise of it, but not for me. And not only that, but also, look, I was never going to be Michael Jordan.
No, I see where you're going.
You're never going to be LeBron James. Uh-huh. You're not going to have the DNA to make yourself like that. But Steph Curry?
Yeah. So,
you can shoot the basketball.
Shooting the basketball.
And you can, even as a small guy, hit 25-footers.
No, and he's not just a one-trick pony either.
No.
He'll get his nose dirty underneath the basket, and I like that part of his game last night. What I don't like about Draymond Green's part of his game, did he take too many shots last night? Do you want Draymond Green shooting taking 12 shots? Is that his game? He was 0 for 4 from 3. I mean, he's a nasty defender. Mm-hmm. He really is. He'll get in and he'll flat out guard you. But when he's taking 12 shots, is that too many from him?
I think so, yeah. He's at this point more of a guy you want 5, 6, 7, probably something in that range. Hopefully hit a three-pointer. In fact, that was one of the prop bets I had yesterday.
Oh, and he
yesterday.
Didn't get one, right?
Yeah, he was 0 for 4. Didn't matter, though, because I was also on the money line with Golden State.
Uh-huh.
So that came up empty. But, you know, that Draymond, the evolution of him as a player, you know, just a few weeks back, we were talking about him looking scared offensively. It wasn't at the Ben Simmons level, but there are times that he just refused to take open shots. And what version would you rather have? A guy chucking up 12 shots or a guy that looks scared to shoot the basketball? I still think you want him shooting.
Yeah, but not as much.
Right, right. There's got to be a happy medium, right?
Absolutely. And I think therein the answer lies in there somewhere. Because 12 is too many, and you're right. He did. There were times that he did want to made a decision not to shoot the basketball. Well, 1-0 Boston. The series price has shifted significantly now. Yeah. Boston is what, -$1.85?
Was it that high?
I think it was at Circa.
Oh, wow.
I think I saw the Circa tweet this morning when I got up that it was a significant change, obviously, based on one game. But the game was on Golden State's home floor, so the home court advantage has now gone away, and we shall wait until Sunday for game number two. But last night, man, oh, man. The first three quarters of the game, Trent, I thought, Golden State, kind of the way we thought it was going
to
go.
That's the way that they do things. They get out to 1-0 leads. They've done that throughout. They haven't lost at home during the playoffs. It just, almost all the narratives for game one felt like they were just playing out in that fashion. And Steph Curry, the great first quarter, doing against Marcus Smart. And
he was unbelievable, Trent.
It just...
Wait, 2018, something like that?
Yeah, 21. 21. I think it was in that first quarter. And what, finished with 33?
Yeah.
So, yep. 34. In the last 13 in the last three quarters. Maybe Marcus Smart figures something out there. Can Golden State come back now? Are you tempted with this big price?
Yes.
If you were buying back, you'd buy back the other way?
I think so. Yeah. I would, because I've got a decent ticket on Boston at plus 380. So I think I would go back, because I don't think this series... Look, we both picked Boston to win it.
Yes.
But I do think that they will get back to Boston with the series tied at one apiece. I mean, I will be very surprised if this is a tune. If Boston comes in there and takes both games in San Francisco, right. I just don't see that happening.
I think everybody's going to be on that. And the points.
Well, and here's the other thing: if that's the way everybody's going, then what do you do?
Well, and that certainly would have been the case last night, right? I mean, you just go the other direction with
What is the point spread? Is it? It's got to be out.
It's 4. And I've seen some 4.5s out there. I'm looking at DraftKings right now. They have it Golden State -4, even -110 on that money line, -170 for Golden State in Game Two, +150 if you're going to go back to the well on that one. I know. I understand what we saw last night, that fourth quarter, and we have the memories of that. But Golden State's not going down.
I don't think they are, too. I don't think they are either. I really don't.
Right now at DraftKings, Boston -190 and the Warriors +170. So I'm like you. I got both sides of this. I have a little taste on each, but if I didn't, or if I would have already taken Boston and didn't have anything on Golden State, I'd be taking a taste on the Warriors.
I think
at that
price. I would too, because, again, what is, the markets shifted significantly, and of course it was all based on what we saw last night. We'll get into the hockey coming up. We'll talk some Cubs and some Cards as they played their first of 5 this weekend. They've got a game, afternoon game today, and the double dip on Saturday before Sunday night baseball. NHL plays in the afternoon on Sunday. They'll be over just in time for 6 o'clock first pitch Wrigley Field. And then, of course, is it 8 or 7 o'clock for game two? I think it moved up an hour to 7 o'clock.
Yes.
For game two on Sunday night. ABC will have that one. So pretty good day of sports on Sunday. Look, last night was a terrific night. Really was. That wasn't a great hockey game by any means. It was, Colorado going up 2-0. Cubs Cards was entertaining. And the basketball. Let's get Jeff in here. He wants to opine. We welcome him to do so. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing okay. I called in yesterday and the excitement for game one. To be honest, I can't remember, just the aura around a Game 1 NBA Finals in a long time. Now, mind you, I root for, I'm not a fan of Golden State, but I root for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Here's what the scary thing is for me and for, I would say, for Golden State fans, is that you guys touched on it. Curry goes out there, puts up 21, shooting the lights out of the ball. Okay, Celtics take a punch in the mouth. We all know what the Golden State does in the third quarter. That's their quarter. They give another punch. And with all of that, and Tatum having 13 assists and kind of being a facilitator, White and Horford shooting or made the most threes they've ever made ever, not just in a playoff game, ever in a regular season game. And for them to do that on the road, and I told you guys those stats yesterday about winning game one and how I think it really matters. As a Golden State fan, it's scary to say it's a must-win Sunday night.
Yeah, it is.
And I've talked about on this show. I think you guys have maybe touched on it. I love Klay Thompson. He was nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. I think he had 14 points. He's lost a half a step defensively. He's not that two-way player that I love anymore. He's just he's a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond, again, I love his podcast. He seems like he's going to be a great guy on TV. I'm sorry, but getting 8, 9, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, that's not enough. And for Golden State to be relying on Otter Porter to go 4 for 5 for 3, he was just hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, Iguodala hit a huge 3 in the third quarter. Is that where we're at? We got to get bench guys to be swinging haymakers against the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. And Poole didn't have a good night at all last night, and he's been good throughout the playoffs. Poole.
Oh no! Well, here's the thing with Poole. Poole, he's a wild card. And that's with Golden State. They're a little bit out of control. Poole can get out of control. Mm-hmm. He could have a quick shot and have 2 turnovers in about 90 seconds, and then he's got to get pulled. He's in there to give Curry a break. And if you noticed, Curry had to step out in the fourth quarter. Poole gets in there, has some quick turnovers, and they got to bring in Curry in quicker than they were expecting. But to end it on this, if I'm a Golden State fan, I'm nervous Sunday night. 4.5 or whatever you guys were talking about the line-wise. If I'm the Celtics, you're playing with house money. Yep. I'm going for the knockout quick.
Yep. Yep, Jeff, thanks for the call.
Have a good weekend.
Yep, you do the same. You're 100% right. Go for the knockouts. You're playing with house money. Go back to Boston. At worst, you're going back. The series is tied. You've taken home court advantage away from Golden State. But, man, that fourth quarter, they couldn't miss. They literally almost didn't miss. What did they miss? A couple of shots?
And the one that they did, they got it to Smart in the corner, and he hit a 3.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Off an offensive rebound. It was a rarity. 17-0 run on the road.
Right.
But this has been Boston, right? And I think this is the toughness that both of us liked.
Mm-hmm.
Never felt out of it. Come back. Doesn't matter how good they are. Now, one other caveat I think you need to put in there, and if you're looking at Golden State coming back and making this a series, Boston has not been very good on their home floor. They have struggled also there. As good as they've been on the road, they've had their own issues here. So if you think it's a lock that they're going to win all 3 games back in Boston, probably slow your roll just a little bit on that one.
Well, I look at just get us to 7.
Stretch it out.
Stretch this bad boy out. It was eye-opening in the fourth quarter yesterday. NHL in the Western Conference Final.
You got to help me out here because I didn't even...
Yeah, it's too much Colorado.
Yeah.
There was a spurt, I guess you could call it that, in the second period. There's like 3... I believe they scored 3 goals on 3 shots. Nazem Kadri was unbelievable. Backup goalie for Colorado plays in the game. Frank Kuz is his name. He's a lefty. He shuts out. Look, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and company were blanked. We're blanked. Now this series is 2-0 going back to Edmonton. I'm sorry. Colorado punched their ticket last night to the Stanley Cup Final. I just don't see any way in hell as good as Connor McDavid and Draisaitl have been in these playoffs. I just don't see it happening. I really don't. Mike Smith is long, and he's 40 years old, for crying out loud. Mike Smith played here in Des Moines.
That's
in
crazy.
2005 or 6. He's 40 years old, and he's asked to play every other night. That's too much, and I guess they don't have anything behind him that they're confident in, because it's time for a night off. The old man needs a night off. So game 2 of the Eastern goes tonight. We'll make that part of Klaxon's. Baseball from last night. Boy, Trent, there's a couple of stories developing, both in the American League and both teams that we thought were going to have a big say in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Clearly the White Sox, who lost again yesterday, and the Angels. And I think it's 8 in a row for the Angels.
It is.
I don't know what the streak that the White Sox are on.
3 in a row.
Is what it is? Because they took one from the Cubs over the weekend, and they had to come back to take that one on this long weekend. Screw me up. Sunday, I think it was.
But Sunday's when they got the win, but yeah, they have lost 3 in a row and 5 of their last 6.
Yeah, so neither one of these. And here's the thing about the Twins, too. Twins had an opportunity to put some daylight.
And they have not been able to.
They have
do
not.
It. Those bats have gone absolutely silent.
And, I hate to say it, but here's hoping that they get through the weekend absolutely silent, because they're up north of the border.
Well, and there's a big story, obviously, developing there, is the Twins make their trip up to Canada for the first time, and that means.
No, you have to be vaccinated to get in.
Vaccinated. Here are the guys that will be not making the trip to Toronto.
Oh, the list is out?
It is out. This came out this morning. They have not announced the corresponding moves that'll happen. You do have flexibility with your 40-man roster when guys are put on the restricted list. But Emilio Pagan, they can leave him back in Minnesota. They can they can send him south of the border, go somewhere else after giving up that home run yesterday. Oh, I'm so excited. Get to watch the end of the Twins game. Had a little time. Get to watch the last inning and a half.
Did you hear Jim Cott?
I didn't hear what he
said. You know what?
Hester the molester?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I get we want to fire everybody. There was no malice. There was no intent. Like, the guy's 80 years old. And I said this when it happened 2 years ago when this was a talking point. Us old people, you got to cut us a little bit of slack. We want to learn, don't get me wrong. And I mean this sincerely. Mm-hmm. We do want to learn. But these were things that were said all the time. Yeah. That doesn't make it right in 2022. I'm not saying that. But for people, and Twitter exploded and social media went crazy and you got to get rid of this old man. He didn't mean. And to Cortez's credit, you know what he said after the game? Take nothing away from that.
Yeah.
He didn't mean anything by that.
Right. He's an 82-year-old guy.
He's an 82-year-old guy. That's what we said that forever. You know, you rhyme things. And again, it's 2022. We have to be careful, but it's going to hit.
And it wasn't a racial slur.
It wasn't, Trent. It wasn't meant like that at all. But we grew up.
Intent needs to matter.
It does.
And Jim Cott, his intent was not.
No.
It was not racist.
No.
It was not sexist. It was nothing like that. Right. It was.
And will they speak with him? Of course they will.
Yes.
The Twins. But did he mean it like, no.
Nope. I was with you. I was surprised by the, I shouldn't have been surprised by the firestorm that it created. It was a dumb comment.
Yeah, but it was a dumb comment in 2022.
Yeah.
1982 was.
Right.
You know.
You give a chuckle.
Right.
And you move on.
Anything by it?
No, absolutely not.
But it's again.
Different era.
It's us. Anyways, but itself.
Don't know if Cott's going to be part of the broadcast team this weekend.
No, I mean, he wasn't. It's not like
he was
probably
anyway.
Scheduled
right.
anyways, right?
Right?
He does these periodically. He's in retirement. But my point where we started to go, Twins had an opportunity to put some distance between them and this division. And they did not because the White Sox are scuffling.
And the Twins kind of are now as they lose 3 out of 4 to the Tigers and not hitting the baseball well. They will not have Max Kepler. Will not be making the trip.
Wow.
The German, who had been playing pretty well and going the opposite way a little bit more. Mentioned Pagan out of the bullpen. Also, Caleb Theobald will not be there. And Trevor McGill. So three bullpen arms will not be part of the team up in Toronto. They're on the restricted list.
And it goes both ways, by the way, because Toronto can't get back into the United States if they're not vaccinated.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, don't make this a...
Well, they had to play in Florida
and Buffalo.
Right. Last year.
Yeah. Right. So if the Jays players aren't vaccinated when it comes for the return trip or any of the other remaining 29 teams in baseball.
So we know that those guys are vaccinated.
Yeah, they have to be to get into the States.
Right.
If any of our listeners go to Canada fishing, to get back into your country, you have to be vaccinated. That's the way it is. Like it or not. And it's probably time that we don't like it anymore. But... anyways.
So last night, Cubs-Cardinals, how much of that would you watch?
I watched a bunch of
it.
I watched a bunch of it. And again, it's these young kids on this Cubs team, Trent, that just have my full attention. They're fun to watch. Morale is infectious. And you know what? It's starting to, I think, from my post in Ankeny or downtown Des Moines from 10 to noon, I think it's starting to, you know, catch on in that locker room. These guys are having fun. They're smiling. They realize that there's no postseason in their future this year, and they're part of a rebuild, but it's kind of fun to watch. And the Cardinals, you know, they got a chance to do some damage here. They should beat the Cubs. They have a better roster than the Cubs do. And this it's going to be a fight between the Brewers and the Cardinals right to the end, and they should be winning these games. Well, they got four of them left this weekend. But the game last night itself, it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch. Keegan Thompson has... he's going to make a lot of money as a starting pitcher. He's going to make a lot of money. He was really good again last night in his starting role. He didn't get he got into the sixth, didn't get out of the sixth inning, but the bullpen came in. They were good. Liberatore, the starter for the big kid, big lefty, they got something there. Mm-hmm. I don't think give up on that kid too quickly. You could.
The Cardinals found somebody, huh?
I think they do.
What a shock.
Yeah, right, right. And Wilson Contreras, Trent, homered again in the first inning. Mm-hmm. This team loves him. He is the leader of this ball club.
Was it Cappy that told us earlier this week he's more important to the Cubs than, or it might have been Matt Snyder, said he's more important to the Cubs than any other organization because on the free agent market, yeah. What's he going to get? But
right.
He's that veteran presence. Mm-hmm. And you go back and look at the first build with Jed Hoyer, what they were able to do along with Theo and creating this team. And they brought the young guys up, and it was Rizzo. So go back to 2014. They finished the year 73-89. I mean, probably yep. Same kind of thing you're going to be looking at this year. Rizzo was 24. Starlin Castro was 24. Baez came up that year at 21 years old.
Jeez.
They had the breakout season that year from Jake Arrieta. And, of course, we know what that morphed into and what he was. But you also had a few veterans there, a couple older guys that hung around and helped out a little bit and just – that veteran presence. That Chris Coughlin was on that squad. Darwin Barney in his late 20s.
Wow.
And those kind of players that you got that presence, but they're not the bridge that are going to take you to the next level because those weren't part of the championship, but it's just those veterans hanging around and doing that kind of thing.
So if they do trade Contreras, who are they going to look for leadership in that clubhouse? I mean, who's left? It's not Hayward. Doesn't play enough. Hap?
Maybe.
He might not be there either. Kyle Hendricks?
He's a red ass, though, isn't he? I mean,
I don't know. Cappy really likes him. Cappy says he's very philanthropic. I know he's got some coffee thing going in there that a lot of the, I don't know, he's got a couple of causes that he's pretty deep into the community in Chicago. But who would be the leader if Contreras leaves? It's not Kyle Hendricks.
No, you're right. I mean, he's... nerdy professor guy, right?
I mean, he's not the best pitcher on the team right now.
You got some veterans. Patrick Wisdom's a veteran, at least in terms of age, not in terms of major league experience. But there's some older guys hanging around. If I was them, though, what's it going to take? You give him 5 years, $125 million. Is that enough? Is he looking for a longer contract? And what does he get on the free? I continue to struggle to see what he's going to get as a free agent. First of all, the Cubs trade him. It's a rental.
Yep.
You're looking at what? A couple of decent prospects,
maybe.
Guys probably.
Hopefully there's a bidding war.
8 through 15 in an organization. Right. You're not getting top end prospects.
No.
You wouldn't think for
there's
a rental.
There's no term.
30 years old. He'll turn 31 next May. So decently young, but also a catcher with a lot of miles on him. Yep. I just don't know. I don't know what the return is. I think whoever said that put it right. Wilson Contreras worth more in a Cubs organization than anywhere else in baseball.
Want to trade somebody? Trade Marcus Stroman. I hate to say it because I've always been a fan of Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
But he's got a couple of years on his contract. He's a starting pitcher.
I'd say Ian Happ. I don't know if he's part of the long room. Maybe it's just because Tommy Burch said that Happ, when he was sent down here, would never talk
to the media. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
All right. Maybe that's why I have painted the idea of Ian Happ maybe being a little bit difficult.
Yeah, he. Well, it was a tough time for him.
Yes,
because I do remember that. What, 2 years ago was it? Two or 3 years ago now? I think we were doing. Weren't we doing a bunch of shows that year at Principal Park? Was that the year?
Yeah, that would have been 2019.
I think it was. We'll take our time out. Dave Sproul will join us next. We'll get into Iowa State. Pick his brain on the Twins as well. He's a huge Twins fan. Where that team goes? So they've got three north of the border.
Is that what it is? I didn't see if it was a wraparound series going into Monday. Yeah, it'll be a three-gamer off on Monday, and then the Twins welcome in the hated New York Yankees.
Wow. And the Yankees, I mean, they're playing so well, Trent. They are playing so well. They took two from the Angels yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Angels are going the wrong way. Just when it looked like MLB would get its wish that Ohtani and Trout were a cinch to make it to postseason. Still may, but not the way that they're playing. We'll take our time out. Miller and Condon underway. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.
And in Ankeny.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller. with you right up until noon. Claxon's Barbecue giveaway opportunity, anyways, to win a barbecue from Claxon's coming up here in about an hour and 10 minutes. Right now, let's go to Ames. Dave Sproul, KSI, 1430 on the AM dial. Dave, before we get into sports, just sadly, Ames in the spotlight last night for all of the wrong reasons. How's the community reacting this morning?
I sense there's a little bit of shock, obviously, from all this. A lot of sadness as well. They are actually having the sheriff's office is having a news conference right now. I'm not sure we'll get a lot more detail about what happened last night, but obviously, just a really sad situation, very tragic, and yeah, you're seeing seeing the name or seeing Ames in the news
right
now nationally. As you said, for the wrong reasons.
One more on this, Dave. For those of us who don't know Ames real well, we certainly know our way to Hilton and Jack Trice and Hickory Park and a couple of those spots. Where is the Cornerstone Church in Ames in relation to Iowa State's campus?
It's up to the eastern edge of the city. In fact, it might not technically be within city limits. This is why the sheriff's office is taking the lead on the investigation here. The building itself is right off the intersection of I-35 and Highway 30, so it would be the northeast of that intersection. You can see it from the highway. It's a pretty big building.
Is there an eye clinic on that same exit? Is that Wiley or Wolf Care or something? I think there might be.
That's further north.
Is it further north? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to Iowa State. And the week that they've had. Let's start first with TJ Otzelberger, who got his team to commit to the way, the brand of basketball that he thought they needed to do to compete in the Big 12. And boy, did they ever, and exceeded everybody's expectations. And the head coach was rewarded with another year tacked onto it, as well as a raise. Certainly warranted, in my opinion, Dave.
Yeah, and what's interesting about it is that, you know, he's still at the bottom of Big 12 salaries, basically, but it's still a $500,000 raise right away with $100,000 raises built into each year of the deal. But it's not, you know, it's not this huge increase in salary. It's not an extension that's like 10 or 15 years or whatever, some big number that sometimes gets thrown around when a coach might have a good season or two and athletic departments and the athletic director start to fear that somebody might come and poach their coach away. That's not a real big concern with TJ Otzelberger. Like, you really get the sense this is where he wants to be for a long, long time. So it wasn't like Iowa State had to bid against somebody for his services here. But, yeah, he absolutely showed that he can do tremendous work when he gets the pieces he wants. He can get guys to buy in, and he can win some games. They might not always be the prettiest ways to win, but nonetheless, wins are wins, and you'll take them no matter how they come.
AJ Green, the decision to stay in the NBA draft, and it's going to be a tough road certainly for him to get there. Not many people projecting him to be one of the 58 draft picks, but he's going to take a shot, go after it, not going to Iowa State. How impactful do you believe that is for the Cyclone roster, where I know there's a lot of people in there, they didn't just have him penciled in to that roster next year, they had it in pen?
Yeah, I kind of had him penciled in, but I was borderline pen myself there from what I'd heard, but maybe that was just a lot of optimism getting away from a lot of people, or maybe something changed over the course of time where, you know, when AJ Green was meeting with NBA teams and doing these pre-draft workouts, he got, you know, the message. And actually, I think in the Cedar Rapids Gazette, he basically says he, you know, the feedback he got was that, yeah, he's going to get an opportunity to earn a roster spot with an NBA team. Maybe he'll have to settle for a two-way and work his way through the G League for a while to get there. But he feels confident that that's the route to go, because given where he is kind of age-wise, given his skill set, and the fact that, you know, maybe you look at another year in college, whether it's Iowa State or anywhere else, is probably not going to raise his draft stock all that much. So why not go for it now, start earning some professional money and hone your game that way with, you know, some of the best players and coaches in the world. So I get the decision is understandable. Where it leaves Iowa State, well, it leaves them without, you know, this year's version of Isaiah Brockington. They don't have the go-to scorer that you can count on to really kind of create his own shot. And Brockington did that brilliantly from the mid-range. Green obviously would have been a deeper threat from three-point range. And maybe Iowa State could find somebody in that mold, but even the new transfers that are coming in are guys like Gabe Kalscher, who's coming back, where maybe their career started shooting pretty well from three-point, but declined from there, and hoping that a new location could get that lift back in their game, but it's not something I would count on based on the history we've seen from guys like Kalischer and others who I would say, you know, had their fingers crossed and hoped would improve their three-point shooting. So right now, you're just left without a dynamic offensive scorer. There might be some options left in the transfer portal, but it looks like this is another team that's just going to have to grind out, you know, a 40-something point win. By which I mean scoring in the 40s and trying to get wins that way.
Yeah, 48-46, home crowd goes home. Happy because their team got a win. Not the Hoiberg era of basketball, but you know what? I enjoyed every minute watching it this year. The commitment of the defensive end of the floor. There's room for that, and we saw that. And you know, the other thing about it, Dave, is, and I'm convinced this played a major role in it. Trent and I both think he's a fringe NBA guy, but he's a fringe NBA guy this year at age 22. Next year, he's going to be a fringe NBA guy, but at age 23, and age works against you in the NBA.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I'm no NBA draft expert or NBA expert of any kind, but that seems to be the trend now. Guys who are leaving early, you know, leaving college early after their freshman seasons or sophomore seasons, and there's really a premium on youth, and even 1 or 2 years difference can really affect your draft stock.
Dave Sproul joining us from KASI up in Ames as we talk little Cyclone hoops here. Talk about the scoring punch, the way that this team is going to be built. They do have a scholarship open. They can go two directions. As you said, Dave, do you anticipate that they're going to be maybe reemerging with some names that we're going to start to hear in the next week or two, or does it have to be almost a perfect fit to come in at this spot?
Yeah, I don't know if you really need a perfect fit. Now, TJ Otzelberger might have a whole different philosophy on this. Maybe he's just going to be satisfied with the roster he has, but there are some options in the transfer portal that can help your backcourt and help your scoring at the moment. And the downside is there's going to be a lot of competition for those guys. So, you know, there's no sure thing that Iowa State's going to go out and get them. Now, if I'm in T.J. Otzelberger's shoes, absolutely go after those guys. You got nothing to lose. You got a scholarship to spend. And if you miss out on those, then maybe you take a flyer on a guy and give him a scholarship for a year. Maybe he ends up sitting on the end of the bench. But what have you lost? Because, I mean, you can sit there with your scholarship open and have a roster that's one player short. Or you can give it to a guy who may have even the slimmest chance of surprising you, but give them that chance and see what happens. So that's kind of my philosophy. Start high, you know, start going after some guys. Maybe you feel you might still have a chance at. Might be tough at this point, but what the heck, give it a shot. And if not, you take a flyer on somebody.
Let's switch to football, fellas. Who on this returning roster for Iowa State, who's indispensable on either side of the football? I mean, I guess you'd probably look at the quarterback first and foremost, right, Deckers? But who else can't Iowa State afford to lose? It's contact sports. Sadly, there's always injuries. A Will McDonald, maybe, coming off the edge. Frailer, we saw him. 17 made some huge strides. Who's indispensable on this roster? Who does Iowa State absolutely have to have on the field, Dave Sproul?
My first instinct is to say Trevor Downing on the offensive line. He's, you know, moving to center this season. He was a stalwart last season, but got banged up and had to miss some time. But he's a guy who brings a ton of experience, a ton of skill. He's a guy who's, you know, a legit NFL draft a prospect and a team leader on a team that doesn't have a whole lot, you know, relative to last season coming back in terms of production. You mentioned Will McDonald. That's an excellent choice there, too, on the defensive side because of what he can do. He's one of those rare guys who can almost control a game there along that defensive line of scrimmage and can really make an impact with his pass rushing ability. So he's certainly on defense probably the number one guy in terms of somebody you need on the field. And now I'm going to go with Downing. I think he needs to be out there to anchor that offensive line for Iowa State.
You got one, Trent?
One that jumps out to me is Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And the reason...
Leadership?
You got that. You got a wide receiver room that's very young. We certainly like what we saw out of Jalen Noel last year, but
There's
not a whole lot of depth there, at least that we know at this point at the wide receiver group. You don't have the security blankets of the tight ends that you had a year ago with both Allen and Kohler. It's for me, Xavier Hutchinson. If this team is going to be, you know, in a bowl game and fighting for the upper half of the Big 12 this year, Xavier Hutchinson, I think, is going to have a big, big part of that in another big season offensively if that offense is going to do the thing. Offensive line, Stone's been great run blocking, right? We've been waiting for 6 years and still have not got there. Now you take away one of the most talented guys to ever walk through those halls in Breece Hall. is the running game going to be better suddenly? I don't see that.
Yeah,
they're going to have to pass to win.
It's true, and I do like your point, Dave. Trevor Downing, very important part. All right, let's get the baseball. So how was Target Field last week? You said you were getting up there to see a game, what, Sunday, I think. Oh, I know you were there because I saw a picture from your seats. It's a pretty ballpark, is it not?
Great
spot.
Yeah. Yeah, up close and personal, I got there. But I took advantage of their $9 ticket special. So
you're
not going to get too close to the action with that. But you do have that great view of downtown Minneapolis. I got to watch Royce Lewis make his center field debut for a grand total of 3 innings before crashing into a wall and hurting himself. Maybe that's just like a jinx on twin center fielders getting hurt in general. I don't know what that's about. But, yeah, not exactly looking forward to this road trip to Toronto. I was listening to you guys talking about that earlier. And with the players they'll be missing, then combined with the players that hurt, it almost feels like the St. Paul Saints aren't in Des Moines. It feels like they're going to be in Toronto for this weekend. So it's going to be wild to see what they do with the roster there to try to pass their way through this. But you got to go play a good Blue Jays team, then you got to come back and play the Yankees. It's a first place team. They're in a good spot, but man, this next week I'm not looking forward to it.
And the bad part about it, Dave, is they could be in a better spot because they had an opportunity. The White Sox are scuffling right now. They had an opportunity because Detroit was not playing well. One of the more disappointing teams of the first portion of the schedule. They did not get off to a good start. Had a chance to open up a little daylight between their chasers in this division. They didn't take advantage.
Yeah, in that 4-game series in Detroit, I mean, the Twins get 2, 3, 4 maybe timely hits, and they could have came away with a sweep, but the offense just is dead right now. Correa's on the shelf, and Lewis getting hurt, and Buxton's in this epic slump right now. So, yeah, the offense just isn't getting the job done, and the pitching was decent in that Detroit series, but just that clutch hit just never seemed to come, and so it's a little frustrating, as you maybe can tell.
When's Correa back?
Hard to say exactly with a COVID situation, but I think the minimum is 5 days on the COVID injury list, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he can come back soon, but I'm not sure if he could go to Canada this close to testing positive. I'm not sure what the rules are there outside of, you've got to be vaccinated to get into the country. Mm-hmm. And he is vaccinated. But I haven't seen much lately on the timeline for his return, so I guess I couldn't tell you.
Good stuff. I know that during the NHL season, if you were tested positive when you were in the States, I think it was like 2 weeks before you could back in. Couldn't even travel with the team. They stayed in the hotel for 2 weeks by themselves.
Sounds brutal.
Yeah, team goes on, you stay here. Good stuff, Dave Sprout. We will talk to you in a week. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yep, good to talk to you. Dave Sproul, KSI, 1430 on the AM dial. Looking ahead to the pitching matchups. Kikuchi against Gonzalez. Chichi Gonzalez.
Oh, God. Chichi Gonzalez.
He's starting tonight.
He was with Colorado and was brutal. I made a lot of money betting against Chichi back in the day. He's awful.
Well, here's an opportunity tonight.
Where is the price? I always bet on Kikuchi, as you know, anyway.
I do. Barrios goes up against his old squad tomorrow. Dylan Bundy for the Twins. And then we got Sunday. Oh, Gossman Smeltzer. Well, look.
Smells like a sweep.
It looks pretty good for the good guys, but we shall see. We'll take a timeout. It's about 10 minutes before the hour of 11. We'll head to Vegas to start hour number 2. Mike Palm is going to join us. And then Stephen M. Sipple, our buddy. If you're a Husker fan, if you're a Big Ten West fan, Sipple is going to join us by 11:25. New venture starting over there for the veteran reporter, Stephen M. Sipple. He'll be with us about 11:25. And then Claxon's Barbecue, Miller & Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
For details.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller. Well, Trent, we talk about how much we love going to Big Ten football media days when they're in Chicago. They're not this year. Mm-hmm. I think next year there's going to be a change of plans.
Oh, yeah?
The Big 12 is moving from Dallas after this year.
To KC?
To a place that it's on my list to get to, and the media days are going to be there next year.
To your list, you want to get to them.
Mm-hmm. A state I've never been. Oh, maybe I have.
West Virginia.
Yes.
What?
The Greenbrier Hotel. Have you heard about this place?
Oh, yes, I have. I watch the Greenbrier Golf Tournament every single year.
Well, do they show the secret bunker underneath the Greenbrier Hotel?
So you got to fill me in here.
So there's a bunker that was built during one of the administrations for, I guess, politicians, right? And you can buy your way into the, which I'm sure his media days are going to be held there.
Yeah.
Like when last time I was at Big 12 media days in Dallas, Jerry Jones' place was just opening up. So they bust us all over there to take a tour, right? I have to think if we're at Big 12 media days, maybe we could Sproul to come with us, that they're going to make that part of the 2 days, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be fun? Don't you want to go to the Greenbrier? I do.
Not at the top of my list.
Oh, I do. I want to see that place.
Really?
Yeah, but there's teams that a lot of the NFL, so the Niners, for instance, when they have back-to-back East Coast games, they don't fly back to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They stay at the Greenbrier.
Is that where
they stay? And they practice there. Yeah. Huh. So maybe it'll be Sproul and I that are going if I convince him, because you're out by the South.
I got to do a little research. Well, it's the end of July. That's a tough time for me. They moved up the state baseball tournament.
Yeah.
And then I go on vacation right afterwards. Mm-hmm. So you might be media day man here going forward.
Well, Sproul and I. Yeah. So I've got it in front of me. Greenbrier, top secret supersized bunker built for 535 members of Congress during the Eisenhower era. So when was Eisenhower? Did he precede
Ken? 50s?
I was going to say, was he right before Ken? I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't know?
This is history class. What's going on? There's Truman in there. We're going back. This isn't Jeopardy. I do that every night. That's where my mind goes at this point. My mind's on sports. You're throwing me a curveball here.
Well, that's where it is anyway. Sounds like fun to me. Sounds like a plan. Dave Sproul, if you're still listening, let's work on that. Greenbrier,
West Virginia, though?
I saw the announcement was made yesterday.
You think they're going to get a lot of people from Texas making their way there? A lot of people from Kansas.
Well, from Lubbock, maybe not from Austin, because they'll be in the SEC.
True.
Maybe. Hour two coming up. Mike Palm. We'll be in Vegas with Mike Palm next, and we'll be in Vegas in August. That's for sure. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.